Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. If you have your Bible with you, you can open it and turn to Genesis 14, which tells of the War of the Kings, and insert other fingers or markers at Genesis chapters 9 and 10. We will be spending time in verses included in chapters 9, 10, and 14 in the book of Genesis. And we turn there and ask our next question. Why did the kings fight one another? We have who, where, why, and what questions, and we have answered the first two and look now into this third one. By the way, do not put your map away quite yet. I will be speaking of locations again in a few minutes. But why is, of course, a popular way to begin a question. We all have many why questions that remain unanswered. But on this one, I think we can adequately answer it. The most direct answer is found in Genesis 14, verse 4. The Bible says 12 years they had served Kedor Laomer, but the 13th year they rebelled. The reason for the battle of the kings is this. The five kings of the south rebelled against Kedor Laomer. Rebellion. At this period of time, Kedor Laomer was clearly the most powerful of the four kings coming out of the east and then down from the north towards the valley of Siddim, and he had held the five kings of the south and their people subject to himself. And it makes sense why such a powerful king would want to subject the area that is the valley of Siddim, the Jordan Plain. And that is because of the main trade route, which ran from the Euphrates River up via Damascus. That is on our map. And then all the way down through the Jordan Valley and onto the Red Sea and Egypt. Kedor Laomer is king of Elam, and he is eager to maintain control of this territory, that of the trade route, which stretches over the land of Canaan. And so he has required the kings of the south to pay tribute to him. And they had been doing it until the 13th year. Then they were sick of it and rebelled. Well, 12 years is a long time to serve someone who is so far away. And after all, what right does he have to our land? You can hear the people of the south complaining. Well, Kedor Laomer does not take too well to rebellion, and so he waits a year, aligns his forces and those of the other three kings of the northeast, and the next verse in the Bible, Genesis 14, verse 5, begins, "In the 14th year, Kedor Laomer and the kings that were with him came." So in year 13, there is rebellion. The tribute is no longer paid. And in year 14, Kedor Laomer and his army set out to serve a costly reminder to the kings of the south that their payday never really went away. These rebels are going to be made to yield. This is typical of kings and rulers to this very day. Deny a king what he thinks is his, and you pay the penalty, you pay the price, one way or the other. Pride. The pride of kings cannot easily be resisted. And pride is the root cause of war, as is the case here. So why is there this war in Genesis 14? Answer, rebellion. But there is also a fulfillment of prophecy here, and I would like to point out a connection between something that happens and is said in Genesis 9 with a description that is made in Genesis 10. I want to connect both of these, as the Bible does, with what is here in Genesis 14. I hope that you will follow along with me in the scripture and see this for yourself. And to do this, we need to turn backwards in the text to Genesis 9 and read verses 20 through 27. This is a dark moment in an otherwise bright life for Noah, God's servant, a man of genuine saving faith, as was demonstrated in how Noah built the ark and survived the flood waters of God's judgment. In Genesis chapter 9, there is this incident, and again, while many Bible readers rush right through it, we must not, because this holds the key to opening doors of understanding throughout the Bible, including at Genesis 14. So let me read these verses for us. Follow along if you can in your copy of God's holy word, Genesis 9, beginning in verse 20. Then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard. Noah drank of the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were turned away, so that they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. So Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he shall be to his brothers." Noah also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." That was Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 through 27. And here is the prophecy I was telling you about. Noah gives the prophecy, and it concerns this man named Canaan. Well, who was Canaan? Not Canaan the place, as in the land of Canaan. No, here we are still talking about a person, an individual. Canaan was the grandson of Noah. You may recall that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And verse 22, which I read, said that Ham was the father of Canaan. So Ham was the son of Noah, and Canaan was the son of Ham. And the sin in this story belongs to Ham and is somehow linked to Canaan. That is, Canaan was involved in Ham's sin of seeing his father Noah naked. We know that because Noah curses Canaan. That is in verse 25. So Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, he shall be to his brothers." And then in verses 26 and 27, we learn that there is a blessing for Shem and Japheth. Now, who were these two sons of Noah, and why were they blessed? Well, verse 23 explains, "But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away so that they did not see their father's nakedness." Ham, in partnership with Canaan, had sinned, but Shem and Japheth had not sinned. And notice that as part of his curse, Canaan will now be a servant to his uncles Shem and Japheth. Verse 25, Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brothers." Verse 26, Noah also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." Did you catch it? Canaan will serve Shem. And verse 27, "May God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." Once again, Canaan is made a servant to Japheth. Well, this is a prophecy. This is the curse that Noah laid on Canaan. And this curse, by way of prophecy, finds at least partial fulfillment in Genesis 14. In what sense? Well, we will get to that, but not before we stop and read in Genesis chapter 10. So hold in your mind what we know from Genesis 9. Canaan will be a servant to Shem and Japheth. And come with me to Genesis 10, and I will read verses 15 through 19. This is Genesis chapter 10, verses 15 through 19. Canaan became the father of Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. And afterward the families of the Canaanite were spread abroad. The territory of the Canaanite extended from Sidon, as you go towards Gerar, as far as Gaza, as you go towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeboim, as far as Leshah. Well, verse 19 ought to be ringing bells in your mind. Genesis 10, verse 19 tells us that the territory, the land of Canaan, extends right down into the very places where the kings of the south live in Genesis 14. Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim. These are all mentioned as places where the Canaanites lived. And notice it was these people who were subject to Kedorlaomer. Well, guess what? Kedorlaomer was king of Elam, and the Elamites were the descendants of whom? Shem. Listen to the first part of Genesis 10, verse 22. Genesis 10, 22. The sons of Shem were Elam. So here's the point. Noah said Canaan will serve Shem. And sure enough, in Genesis 14, the descendants of Canaan are serving the descendants of Shem. Do you hear how this all fits together? Pretty incredible, isn't it? How biblical prophecy is always fulfilled, is always fulfilled. Genesis 9 connects to Genesis 10, which then connects to Genesis 14. And this is our text. I hope you see this. I hope you'll search the scriptures for yourself and see it. I will have more tomorrow as we join together, continuing with one another to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.